moving on to the next pasuk. We finished on Friday the last bit of let me find the right pasuk. Pasuk Vav, okay. Nech b'su Esav. Today we're doing pasuk Zayin. We flip them together. Okay, we begin pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin begins. It's on page 386. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvarai. Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Thank you very much. Pasuk Zayin Ad Hagvul Shelchucha Kol Anshei V'Risecha. Hishi'ucha Yochelu Lecha Anshei Shalomecha Lachmecha Yasimu Mazar Tachtecha Ein Tevuna Bo. So that's quite a statement. The pasuk generally is describing what exactly is going to happen, how it will come about that Esav, Edom, will come to an end in Yemos HaMashiach. In days of Mashiach, so there's going to be this Nevuah, according to most of the commentators, this is something that's not yet happened. We did see one opinion that says that it did already happen. But according to most of the Mefarshim, this is a prophecy of the end, how Edom, how he will come to an end. I guess it's all part of Melchemes Goy Gumagoy. Maybe not. We'll have to see maybe more if that will come out in the process. And this is a very, very fascinating pasuk. And this pasuk is telling us how it's going to happen. And the way it's going to happen is he's going to get bad advice. That's really what it says. Bad advice. Life is all about making good decisions. Okay, you can be in the right place at the right time, but if you make a bad decision, then you're finished. You have to have good friends to give you good etzos. And he's going to have here friends that will tell him, yeah, you know, there's a war in all the nations of the world. As we learned last week, are forming an alliance to go to war against you. Don't worry, you will prevail. You are more mighty, more powerful than all of these nations. They're third world nations. What could they possibly do? They can't possibly succeed in inflicting upon you any harm. That is correct. Go to war and be confident that you will win. And this was very, very bad advice. If Esav had really good friends, the good friends would have told Esav, surrender, or negotiate, or work out some type of arrangement, compromise, do something which will allow yourself to be spared. Instead of being belligerent and going into war and being defeated. So here the pasuk says that all of your friends, they're going to say, that's right, go to war, and they are going to escort you to the battlefield. Ad Hagivul Shilachucha, until the boundary of your land, the boundary, it seems that the battle will not take place in Edom itself, the battle will take place somewhere, some boundary, some location, and all of your friends will escort you until that boundary. Call, who's going to escort you? Your best friends, call Anshei Virisech, all of the people with whom you have forged a covenant. He, she, ucha, they will entice you. They will persuade you. That's right. Go to war. Fight. Yochlu lecha. This is a very beautiful expression. This means you will succeed. Yochol means you will overcome. It's a quotation. Yochlu lecha. These are the two words that your friends will say to you. Go. You will succeed. Indeed, fight. Anshei Shalomecha, and here again the pasuk. Here the pasuk is another description. It's not just going to be the Anshei Virisecha. They're going to be the Anshei Shalomecha, the people with whom you are peaceful with, Lachmecha, and these are the people which dine with you, the people that eat at your dining room table. These people will be the ones who will betray you by telling you to go to war. Yosimu mozar tachtecha. In truth, what they're really doing is they're sprinkling poison. They're sprinkling mozar tachtecha. They're setting a mozar is a very hard word to translate. We're going to see here many translations. One interpretation is a wound. Now the word mozar doesn't really mean a wound. It's a borrowed term. It means medicine. Mazar means to sprinkle. Literally, the word mazar appears here to mean to sprinkle. What are you sprinkling? Medicine. Some type of samamonim. Why? You sprinkle medicine upon a wound. So we're borrowing the term sprinkle and using it in reference to the object upon which something is being sprinkled, and that is a wound. And these so-called friends of yours are really setting you up for a very great damage, for a wound. Yosimu, they are setting you up for a mazar, a wound, tachtecha, upon you, in your place. Ein tevu nabo, there is absolutely no logic behind this advice that you should go to war. It's clearly not to your benefit. You're going to be defeated, you're going to be destroyed. And these people that you think are your friends, as the expression goes, with friends like these, who needs enemies?
But are they purposely setting them up, or are they just...
Good question. Subject to debate.
It doesn't make sense.
Ain't to win about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls minds. Paro, Vani Echbad Eslev Paro. There's going to be a repetition. Mice of a similar bonim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he makes smart people foolish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the kech to influence people's minds. That is a very difficult principle, because that goes against the principle of Bechira Chavshis. A person has free will. And yet we find every so often HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away man's free will. Most significantly is Paro. Vani Achleit Eslev Paro. I will harden his heart and he will not allow you to go until I bring upon Egypt and him Moifsim. Yeah?
There are nations that will incite others, but don't have the courage or the ability.
They're cowards.
To go to war. Yes, but they're good at talking.
They're good at making trouble.
So they're good at making trouble.
So, Eina Hanami, you probably can draw a lot of parallels in politics, where people who are cowards, they just make lots of noise and cause politicians to make foolish decisions. Eina Hanami, it's all here in the pasuk. Now, in this pasuk, we have to see the Mefarshim and Sardis. Not really, the Mefarshim don't really go into too much of an explanation of depth, but just to take note of what in the pasuk, there are three different types of friends being described. There are friends called Anshei Viri Secha. There are friends called Anshei Sheloi Mecha. And there are friends called Lachmecha. Okay, everyone, you can divide all of your friends into many categories, all different types of friends. Here, Edom has at least three friends. If you want to go read the pasuk even more carefully, maybe you'll try to say that there are more types of friends here in this pasuk. But at least explicitly in this pasuk, we have a measure of three different categories of friends. People who you have a bris. There is a covenant. Doesn't say you're on good terms, you're close. The beginning of Pasuk Zayin. Ad Hagvul, Pasuk Zayin. Ad Hagvul Shulchuch, until the boundary they'll send you forth. Who? Kol Anshei Viri Secha. That's number one. Next. Hishiucha, they will entice you. Yachulach, they will tell you that you will succeed. Who? Anshei Shilomecha. That's two. Lachmecha, the people that eat your bread. They sit at your dining room table. That is a third category of friends. Okay, I am part of them. Obviously, we have a whole big book over here. There are many translations. Obviously, there's a third category of friends. So, I know, he probably translates like the Targum that the Anshei Shelo Mecha are the Lachmecha.
No,
the what?
Lachmecha.
Right, so I just said. So, okay, fine, that's the Pshuta Shulik, but there's repetition. What's the repetition? It appears that there's another category of friends. Three categories of friends. People, the more distant. What are the more distant? People that you have a covenant with. I don't see them, I don't know them, I never invite them for dinner, I don't daven with them in shul, but we have an understanding that we're allies. We don't kill each other. Anshei Virisecha. And then there are the Anshei Shilomecha, your neighbors. The neighbors on the block. The people that you daven with in shul. They are at peace with you. You see them every single day. And then there are the Lachmecha, people that come home with you every Shabbos, the people, your family, your very close friends who have access, full, unlimited, unrestricted access to your private quarters. Three different categories of friends. All three of them will mislead you, will betray you, and will advise you to enter into a war that is not to your benefit, and you will be defeated and destroyed because of their bad advice. Okay, so this is a very fascinating concept, and that's teaching us that Esav in the end of days will go down primarily because they will be betrayed by their closest friends, by their friends giving them bad advice. That's not what the common man thinks when we talk about Melchemes Gog Umagog. We think that there's a macho war, and the people, Esav, Edom, when they're going to war, they know exactly what they're doing. They have all the weapons of mass destruction. No one is trying to persuade them to do something foolish. Their friends are cheering them on. They're rooting for them. And here it's telling us that's not necessarily correct.
It appears to be intentional.
Yeah, we have to read the Mefarshim very carefully, and obviously there's going to be a difference of opinion. It's not at all clear. And when things will happen, will play themselves out, when Mashiach will come, then obviously in hindsight, it's 2020, we'll be able to, oh, now we understand what the Pasuk really meant to say. It could really be none of the above. Okay, as everything in history is like that. Whoever would imagine that this is what the Pasuk really meant to say. There are so many examples of that in hindsight, things that already have happened. We're looking back at the Pesukim, and now we have a whole much richer appreciation of what the Pasuk really was trying to say. So let's look at this Pasuk a little slowly. Let's see the Mitzvot of it. Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzvot of David on page 386. The Pasuk here begins with Ad HaGvul, Kishayatza Lamalchama Mul Ha'oyev Livuy Oysal Kol Anshei Verisai. When Edoim will go to war, they will march to war, they will be escorted by their friends. Shehoye Lo Yimohem Kris Asperis. What kind of friends? Friends, which there is a formal covenant. These friends will escort Edom until the edge of the boundary. But they're cowards. If you're really such a good friend, why don't you also go to war? Why don't you also put yourself in danger and enter into the battlefield? No, that we're not willing to do. When they reach the battlefield, they say, see you later. Have a nice day. I'm going back home. I'm a coward. According to the Mitzudois, this is deliberate. They deceive them. They trick them. They mislead them. That's how he learns. How does the Mitzudos David know that this is correct? I do not know. But he says that they're liars. The Anshev Rizach, they promised Edom, we will come with you. We will come with you, we will be there with you. And they come to the boundary, and then they make an about face. And now
What do you mean to what end? For what reason? What is in it for them?
The spoils, but they don't take part. Yeah, but they're how if Esav wins, think about the consequences. If Esav does win, how will we be able to look him in the face? Let's say Esav prevails and Esav comes back. You're my friend. You promised to come with me to war and you abandoned me? What kind of friend are you? I'll go to war now against you. I mean, it's very bizarre. What kind of behavior is this? It's worse. It's betrayal. The way that Mitzudas David presents, he presents outright betrayal. It has consequences. No matter what. So, how does he know that is the pshat? Number two, how could such a thing happen? What's the logic? What's going on over here? Obviously, there's a lot more that we don't know. This was his tradition. This is what his teachers taught him, that this is the pshat. And that's based upon, maybe we'll see some of the mefarshim, maybe we'll have more insight. Just wrap it very quickly. I don't know every detail here. What?
Unless maybe. Right up until the last minute, they were all gung ho, and then they just sensed something was not going to go well, and they.
I know, but I that's what we would think. But the Mitzudos uses very strong language. It says hitu. It says the mamish. They went the hitu oisoi ki hivtichu lachasimo. They misled them. It sounds pretty evil. Sounds mischievous what they're doing. I don't know. Let's see further. Hishi ucha ho anashim shohayisa imahem b'shalom heim hisisu oischal lelechas lamilchama. These individuals who you were at peace with, they enticed you in an evil way to go to war, to go do something that's not for your benefit. The yachlu lecha. Now it seems that I told you the words v'yachalach means it's like a statement. You will succeed. Now some of the commentators will indeed say that, but I'm not sure that's what the Mitzudah says. V'yachalu l'cha, it may appear that he's translating these words in the past tense. And you listened. V'yachalu l'cha, you Edom listened. The word yachol here means you have yachoyles v'nitzachoyin. I don't know, the Mitzudos Siyum gives you the impression that it's a statement. Okay, whatever it means. Let's learn now for the sake of simplicity that it is a statement. That the people, your friends, they said to you, go, proceed, you will succeed. We give you a blessing that you will succeed. Be confident. What happens next? Next page. Page 388, Lachmecha, Oichlei Lachmecha, your friends, the people that eat your bread, Halechim Pros Mimcha, people who take food from you, Heim Yosimu Mako Tachtecha, they will betray you. They will set you up for failure. They will set you up to be defeated. Ritzon Eloimar, Bimkoimcha, in your place, which Sonalem is always a stop sign, which means that the Pasuk here cannot be translated literally. There's a very great difficulty in the literal translation. But what the Pasuk means to say is, Bimkoimcha, Tachtecha means in your location. The location where you are heading, Heichinu Lecha, your enemies, your friends, by advising you to proceed, are preparing for you, Ki Lo Yoin, destruction. Va'avadoin, another word which means destruction, ki yi'atsu olecho ra'a. That's the key word here. Okay, it doesn't say the word anywhere in the entire pasuk, but that's the entire pasuk is summarized in one word, advice. Bad advice. To give bad advice is one of the worst things possible. Someone comes to ask you an etza, shoyel etza, what should we do? Should we do this? Should we do that? And you give them bad advice. You know, there are stories in the Holocaust, people didn't know what to do, to run or not to run. Okay, some of the big, big dilemmas, what to do. And, you know, Rahman was someone having this. The story, I don't know if it's true, it's not true, but there is a story where there was a group of, I told you this many times, a group of people.
Which I told them the opposite, and they saw him afterwards, and he said, yeah, and they would listen to him.
They were Hasidish people, Hasidim, and the only one in the community was a Litvish Rav. And they recognized he was a great person, so they went to ask him advice, what to do? Should we run, not run? So the Litvish, he told them to stay put. Don't run away. Don't run away. And they didn't listen, they ran away, and because they ran away, they were saved. And everyone who stayed behind was killed. Years later, they somehow met up, and they said, had we listened to you, we would have been killed. So he said to them, I'm way ahead of you. I know my customers. I'm a rabbi. I deal with you people all the time. I knew that whatever I would tell you, you would do just the opposite. And he was said that supposedly, it's a true story, supposedly he was very, very serious. Listen, I know it's not true, everything that you know, Big Baba Maisa, but I knew that why are you coming to ask me? You're coming to ask me? It doesn't make sense you would ask me a life-threatening decision. So I knew that whatever I would tell you to do, you would do the opposite. I believe you should run away. So I told you to stay put. That way I saved your lives. Is this story true or not? I don't know, but one thing you do take out is that in life, advice is something very, very, it's a very serious thing. If someone has confidence in you and you give them advice, You know, it's an incredible achrayis, especially young people, people who are, you know, like young boys in yeshiva, and they believe that the Rosh Shiva is it, right? It's Das Torah. And they ask him advice, and the question is the advice he's giving for the student's best interest, or is it for his own best interest? And it's an incredible responsibility, and you can fool yourself very easily by thinking you're giving the person what's in their best interest, but you have to test yourself, is it really in their best interest? It's an incredible achrayis when you have influence over people and you give them advice. And look at this pasuk here. This pasuk here describes the advice of these three different groups of people, the anshei v'risecha, the anshei shalomecha, the lachmecha, giving Esav horrible advice to go into a war that would lead to his destruction. Okay, let's now take a look at Rashi. Rashi, by the way, notice over here that let's see the word mazar. Mitsudos tzion. What does it mean? They're setting you up for failure. Yosimu mazar tachtecha. In the mitsudos David, he basically translated the word mazar as a makkah. They're setting you up to be smitten, a makkah. How does the word mazar come to mean makkah? So in the Mitzudot Sion, it says, Inyan makkah, v'sikare kein al shem shezoyrim oleho avok misamemonim hamerapim. You sprinkle upon the wound medicine. The word mazar literally means to sprinkle. Sprinkle what? Dust. Medicine, different ingredients, different herbs, different whatever herbs and different things that are beneficial to the wound. And therefore we take this word, sprinkle, we manipulate it and we borrow it to refer to the object upon which this dust is sprinkled, the wound. And here your friends are setting you up to receive a very big makkah. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi is
what means
powder, right.
No, I mean, it's not
mamish
dust.
Right, right. It means powder. Yeah, powder. From different herbs. Right. Different herbs, different vegetables, different things, whatever it is. And you go in the ancient medicine. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is a bit more midrashic. Rashi, back in the previous pasuk, page 386. Ar hagavol shilchucha oisam shehiv tichucha le'ezra. Bo'imcha v'livucha ad gvul aretzcha. Those people who promised, who guaranteed to come to your aid, who told you, we got your back, have no worries, we're here to protect you, they will escort you until the boundary of your land, ad hasafar, shesham bo olecha la mulchama, because the battlefield, according to this interpretation, this prophecy will take place not in their homeland. That is very interesting. Is that the battle? There's always a discussion in Chazal. Where is the battle? If the battle is in your home territory, you fight with a lot more courage because it's in your backyard. But if the battlefield is outside your home country, what do I care? It's just no man's land. Here it says the battle will not take place in the land of Edom. Edom will leave their land. They'll go to their boundary. Outside their boundary is the battlefield, and your enemies, your friends who promised to come to your aid, they will escort you. Shesham, there, outside that location, bo olecha la milchama, bo olecha hamilchama, the war, that's where the war will take place. Uvezois, and by doing so, hishi ucha, by escorting you, they are misleading you, they are enticing you. Vihitzlichu, viyachlu licha. So here we have now a new interpretation. I told you v'yachlucha means it was a statement. It was a statement. It was an expression of courage, of chizuk. They say v'yachlucha, fight. You will prevail. That's not the way Rashi learns pshat in these words. Rashi learns that your friends will succeed to betray you. They are devious people. They really want to see your downfall. They make believe they are your friends, but deep down they are your enemies. And by escorting you to the boundary and telling you, we're going to help you, we're going to be with you, they, in essence, have his, she, ucho, have in a sophisticated way, have enticed you, and they were successful in getting you to do something that they know is not to your benefit. So the subject of Yachlu Lecha are your friends, your so-called friends. The friends like these, which you don't need enemies, these so-called friends have prevailed upon you, have succeeded in betraying you by escorting you to the boundary and in essence have his shi'ucha, have enticed you to go to a war that's not to your benefit. That's how he learns Pshat the Pasuk. The yachlu u'hishyucha, the hitzlichu. Your friends have been successful. The yachlu l'cha, in that, l'fatoyscha, let's say, they have enticed you to go out to war. The shavu mi'acharecha, and now they're going to go back home safe and sound, tuck themselves into their beds, while you perish in war when they retreat. Next, Pasuk 388, lach mecha yosimu mozor tachtecha, af macholcha. Now he has a whole new pshat. I told you this drush. Three different types of friends. He's learning over here, Pshat in the Pasuk, not even like the Judaic press. Not like what it says in the Targum. He's putting the words Lach Mecha together with the Mozor, together with the next, the following expression. The way I translate the Pasuk, I told you the word Lach Mecha is an independent statement. It's a reference to a certain category of friends. The Targum, which Rav Michal told us is how in the Judaic press they translate the Pasuk, takes the word Lach Mecha and connects it to the two previous words. The Anshei Shelomecha Lach Mecha. The people with whom you are friendly with, which you're so friendly with, they dine at your dining room table. Okay, he's saying none of the above. He's telling us Lach Mecha Yosimu Mozor Tachtecha. Rashi. Af Macholcha. Even the food, your food, some l'cha achicha Yaakov l'mozar, your brother Yaakov will set as a wound. Okay, we're going to translate another word l'mozar as, what does that mean? Shenosan l'cha lechem unizid adoshim v'yal yodoy bozisa habuchayra mozar ischoyli. He translates the word mozar to mean, like we said, it means a wound. Maybe not in a wound, he's saying it a little bit different. It means an illness. But even the food that you eat, that is poison for you. Now, why is it poison? Rashi, as he did in the previous section, is taking us back to the roots of Edom and Yaakov. The roots of Edom are Esav. Esav was meant to be great, was meant to share, to be a partner in the Ovis, to contribute in a way of being the Am HaNifchar. And what happened? Vayives Esav es HaBechoira. Esav despised the firstborn right. And Yaakov saw this. Yaakov saw his personality, saw his midos, and therefore Yaakov, he maneuvered himself to take away his rights legally. How? When Esav came back from killing Nimrod, Esav was exhausted. Yaakov was busy preparing the mourner's food for Yitzchak, because on that very day Avraham Avinu died, and they were sitting Shiva, and you have to feed a mourner certain type of food, beans, round food, which is round, a symbolic type of food. And Vayozid Yaakov Nozid, Esav comes, he's hungry. Esav says, give me that food. Yaakov says, I'll give it to you if for sale, I'll sell it to you. If you'll give up your firstborn right, then I will give you this food. So fine, what do I need the firstborn right anyway for? I'm anyway going to die. Hinei anochi holich lamus, lama Zeli habuchayra. Why do I need the firstborn right? Vayives Esav es habuchayra. The food, the lachmecha. Okay, the food. Okay, the food, the lachmecha, the food that Yaakov Avinu served Esav was to his detriment. By taking that food, he was giving up his firstborn right. And that became for him the ultimate sickness. He exists in this world without any purpose. It's an incredible, if you want to delve very deep into what Rashi is saying, into what Rashi is really revealing to us, is that Edom is a sick person. The nation of Edom, not coming, always seem never try to put down Esav. The contributions of the Umas Ha'ilam are above and beyond. There's no question about it. There are many dimensions. There's greatness amongst the Umas Ha'ilam. But in their spiritual quest, in their spiritual status, relative to Yaakov, they're choylim. They're ill. There are people who are sick. They're choylim. How do they get sick? The answer is food poisoning. Food poisoning. Who poisoned them? Yaakov. What was the food poisoning? The lentils. It wasn't the prime rib. It wasn't the Viennese table. It wasn't the cantaloupe. It wasn't the delicious champagne wine. It was the lentils. The lentils that were served in the soup.
It's a lentil libel.
A lentil. The lentils is what poisoned Esav. It made them chronically ill. Why? It's not because the lentils had poison. There was no poison in the lentil. It was the lentils were eaten in exchange for giving up the Bechorah. And when Esav lost the Bechorah, he lost his tafkid. He lost a spiritual purpose in this world, a quest to achieve something for Hashem, to do something for the team. He lost that purpose. When you don't have purpose, then what kind of life do you have? You just go from day to day, from turn the channels, from one channel to the next. What kind of life is that? What kind of purpose do you have? Esav is a choyle. Who made him a choyle? Yaakov made him a choyle. How did he make him a choyle? How did he poison him? By giving him food. Why did Yaakov do this to Esav? Because Yaakov saw it needs to be done. Because in essence, Vayivez Esav es habechoyra. It was necessary to take this away from this evil man who really does not deserve to have the firstborn right. And that's how Rashi brilliantly and opens up for us such deep insight into this, into Esav being called a choyle. His choyle comes from food poisoning, and he learns that pshat in the pasuk, lachmecha, your bread edoim, your bread, which in this context means the lentils, yosimu mozor tachtecha, was given to you with poison, was given over to you in a way that made you sick. Mozor tachtecha, there is an illness, there is a choyle in your essence, tachtecha, in your place. You are people who are sick people. This was established through eating food. What food? The lentils. Okay, so this is the way Rashi, if you tell me that a Maral says this, I would believe you. But it's not a Maral. No. This is a Rashi. Arashi over here on the pasuk, Af macholcha sam lecha achicha Yaakov limozar. Rashi says the food that your brother Yaakov gave you, established for you, was in essence for you poison. It made you sick. Shenosan lecha lechem, he gave you bread, unizid adoshim lentils, the al yodoi. And through eating this bread and the lentils, the pasuk testifies, "Vayibozisa habuchayra, vayives esav es habuchayra," and you have become sick because of that. Mozar, the word mozar, Rashi just translates. It means a choyli. It means an illness. It's not exactly like the mitzudas. The mitzudas says mozar means a wound, a makkah. It's the same idea, obviously. There's a makkah on one part of the body, and then there is the whole body is sick. The whole body, it's the same idea, yeah.
Maybe it's a way of expressing, I mean, he already was spiritually sick before he did this.
He just brought it out.
But maybe the sickness here is anti-Semitism, because we say the roots of anti-Semitism go back to this.
Absolutely. This is one of the this is the primary makar for anti-Semitism. That is 100% correct. The secular world has no understanding, even we don't understand, but we have at least different perspective of anti-Semitism. Where does it come from? Why do they hate us? Right? So everyone, so someone who has no no religious background, you go into the world of psychology and you just try to figure it out, and you have all these theories, and the truth is it doesn't make any sense. All of these theories, you can dress it up in eloquence and with PhDs and postdoctorates, but when the day is over, all of these ideas of why non-Jews hate Jews, it doesn't make any sense. The only real reason is you have to go back to history, go back in history to Chazal. And unfortunately, we also don't really understand, but at least we have a different perspective. And there's no question about it, it's rooted in the pasuk of Vayives Esav es HaBechor. It's rooted in Yaakov and Esav were brothers. Esav was meant to be the firstborn. It was meant to be his. He was meant to be the one that will inherit all of the blessing of this world. And because he gave up his birthright to Yaakov Avinu, he lost out. And who is the one that triggered him losing out? Yaakov. Yaakov set him up. He gave him the lentils, he gave him the bread, and he took it away from him. So Esav naturally hates him. So it's a different person. Now, just because I said those words, do we really understand that? No, we're not so foolish to think that we really understand that we have just different, at least a different perspective.
No, that's because it's not rational.
It's not rational, right? No. It goes back to a different time, to a chazal, to the roots, something which we are blessed to have understanding of, at least to a degree, unlike all of the modern day sociologists, which really, if they're not going to start with chazal, then they're guessing. They're not going to the root of the issue. Now let's go further. So this is a very beautiful Rashi, because we have Pshat and Rashi, very fascinating drush and this Pshat. It's really remarkable how Rashi learns Pshat in the pasuk. Let's now go to the Radak. Radak on page 387. Ar ha-givul. Same idea. Everyone else. Ar ha-givul. This means Anshei v'rischa v'oichle lachmecha, okay, the people of your bris, people that you have forged a covenant with, the Oichle Lachmacha Shayis B'tech Bohem. Notice how the Radak, he puts together, this is really what the Targum says, he puts together the Lachmacha is defining, is modifying the Anshei Shiloi Mech. It's one and the same. It just basically means your friends. The Haim Shayis B'tech Bohem, you had confidence in them. The Haim Hig Lucha. They have exiled you. Vishulchucha sent you ar gvul oyvecha hashoydim oyscha ki iluhem noyhim uboichim al galuscha. It's as if they are noyhim, they're crying, they make believe that they're sad. Vehem shaozhu oyvecha tachtecha, they're the ones who allowed your enemies to prevail. Viatelo hirgashav lo hivanta ki beyemachu toivan chachmoscha ugvurascha. Okay. We've just said quite a mouthful. The Radak appears to learn the pasuk very differently, and he touched upon something which no one really addressed, and that is the very end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk is Ein Tivuna Bo. Rashi is silent. At the end of the pasuk Zayin, it says there is no understanding Bo in it. What is Bo? In what? Rashi does not say a word. There are the mitzudos, we read the word v'ein botvuna, we just glossed over it. Lahargish ba'davar liyois nishmar mehen. It meant simply is that Esav, Edom, was taken as a fool. Esav did not realize that they were being set up to be destroyed by their friends. They did not realize that they were being betrayed. Radak says something a little bit different. Radak says that Esav, it's not that they didn't Esav, they lack, it's much, this that they've been fooled is much more than the way the Mitzudos presents it. In other words, Esav, even when they were exiled and destroyed, still think that their friends are their friends. According to the Mitzudos, when Esav goes to war and they're destroyed, they then look back and they say, wow, those three categories of people that we thought were our friends, the Anshei V'risecha, the Anshei Shloimecha, the Lachmecha, what a bunch of losers, exactly. What a bunch of losers. They betrayed us. And if we'll one day, if we will one day come back, we'll wipe them out. We'll take revenge. According to the Radak, no. The betrayal is so good. They were so successful that they still think Esav, even when they're on the battlefield dying and being wiped away, wiped off the face of the earth, they still think that the Anshei Shloimecha, the Anshei V'risach, and the Lach Mecha are our friends, and they're crying for us. They're crying for our losses. That's how little intelligence Esav will have at this moment in time. Hashem will take away from them their seichel, their knowledge, their understanding, to the degree where they'll actually be such fools to think that they were not betrayed. And this whole thing just came about as an accident. And that's incredible. And that in itself is the greatest punishment, because we all know that the greatest blessing man can have in this world is knowledge. The first thing you daven for in Shemona Esrei is to have knowledge. Das, Chochma, Bina, V'Haskel. The greatest defeat of Esav is the loss of intelligence. It's not the loss of land, the loss of power, the loss of kavod. The greatest humiliation a human being can suffer is where he loses his intelligence.
I prefer to call it wisdom, because you can be smart and be a fool. You can have a high IQ and have no seichel, no common sense.
Excellent. Tavuna, very good. That is the ultimate.
Like a lot of Jewish people.
The ultimate punishment is to lose tavuna. And that's if you look at the Radak, see, according to the Rashi, it doesn't even talk about it. According to the Mitzudos, it's not a significant point in the Pasuk. According to the Radak, the crown jewel of the Pasuk is the Ein Tavuna Bo. That's where it all goes to. That's the Spitz. What is the suffering of Esav when Yemos HaMashiach? The suffering is not just that he lost everything. The suffering is you're such a fool, you don't realize what's happening to you. That is the punishment. A whole new approach to the Pasuk.
I think in every environment where you are, it's very important that you know who your friends are.
Absolutely.
You know, in your work environment, everybody says hello to you and everything. Some are your friends, some are not. I mean, let's say it the way it is, you know. And to be aware of where you're holding by all different
exactly,
kinds of
people. Exactly. There's no greater pain than the realization of being betrayed. It's so true in life. Okay, the older you get, you don't trust anyone. It's really true.
Allies.
But a friend is not the same.
No, it's not.
So a lot of time you could have, you don't like him personally, but
you need him. Self-interest, right. That's always the goal. The goal is, that's the goal. Why is this person your friend? Is it because they're really your friend, or they're your friend for their own self-interest? And then when it's not in their self-interest, goodbye, you're finished. So here, Esav will suffer from becoming so foolish, they're not going to even realize they've been set up. Let's read the words of Radak and Sadek one more time. Aragvul, Pasuk Zayin, page 387, Aragvul, Anshei Virischa, your friends. Another expression for your friends. You trusted in them. They are the ones that are going to be sending you into Golis. They're going to be the ones that are going to orchestrate your destruction. Which will destroy you. In other words, they're going to make believe They're going to make believe. They're going to cry. They're going to crocodile tears. Right? Crocodile, they're going to make believe. Oi, oi, look what's happening to you. You're being destroyed. What are you crying? You're the ones who set us up for this. You're the ones who orchestrated that we should be destroyed. And now you're coming and you're crying for us. Yeah, that's the degree of deceit that your friends will display. And guess what? You're such a fool, you don't even realize it. They're the ones that are causing your enemies to succeed in your place, to overcome you. You're such a fool. And you have no understanding what's taking place. I'm going to have this theme later on. This is going to be later discussed in this parak. Is that is the curse. That is the ultimate curse to Edom, that Edom's chochma will be taken away. Look at this world. Look at the chochma. Chazal say, chochma bo'amin tamin. If you hear that the nations of the world possess wisdom, believe it. Put a man on the moon? Oh, that's not chochma. Okay, look at the environment that we're in right now. All of the technology that exists. This is the chokhmah of the Amen. It's a blessing. But when that is the ultimate blessing, when that's taken away, that is the ultimate curse. And here it goes to show they don't even know who has set them up. Okay, let's now take a look at the next page. The next just elaborates. He tells us the words. This is Kedarkoi from the Radak. He first likes to give us. The Radak always likes to first give us the general overview of what the Pasuk means to say, and then he likes to return and tell you the translation of the words. Lachmecha, you notice that? How you see the Radak behaves similar to the Mitsudos and to the Malbim. The only difference is the Mitsudos breaks up his interpretation Perush into two parts. He tells you the overview in the Mitsudos David, and he translates the words in the Mitsudos Tzion. And the Malbim, he gives you the overview in the Bior Ho'inyan, and he gives you the translation of the words in the Bior Hamilas. The Radak does the same thing. It's just that he doesn't break it up into two parts. He keeps it in one. He keeps it in one parish. He usually does this. He first gives you the overview, then sometimes he goes back and he gives you the translation of the words. That's what's over here. In the second part, where he says, Lachmecha, perish oichle lachmecha, your friends who give you food. Then when it says, Mazar, perish choli umaka, v'chein vayar Ephraim es cholioi, v'yehuda es mizoiroi. So you see in the parallelism of this passage, the word mizoiroi is matched up against the word sickness. Tachtecha, Baseser shehistiru atzasa mimcha. So he is giving us new insight that the other commentators did not give us. Tachtecha means secretly. That's not the way the Mitzudos and Rashi learn Shah in the Pasuk. Tachtecha means they're setting you up for this. You will now be subject to what is about to happen. He, the Radak, says Tachtecha means secretly. Secretly they're planning your demise. Baseser, shestiru atzasa mimcha. They concealed their counsel from you. While you nirim lecha kiyavim v'chein tachtav lema limi aretz. We have a baseser, similar expression where the word tachtav is used in the context to mean a secret. Ein tavu naboy be'esav. Esav will lack intelligence. Shleihevin masha hayu oisin loy anshei v'riso. V'chein derech hamikul ladaber b'pasuk echel l'nechach v'shlel l'nechach. He's just telling you over here is that it's the first term and then it's the second term. Third time, I always forget how these things, whatever they say. One is direct and one is indirect. We switch focus. The Pasuk begins discussing, speaking directly to Esav. Yosimu, they will set you up secretly for destruction. Tachtech, you. And then it refers to Esav in third person, indirectly. Ein mo tevuna bo, Esav, this nation, Esav, does not have any understanding. Why then did the beginning of the Pasuk say you are being set up? These people have no understanding. That is the style of the Psukim, to sometimes switch focus in how they are being addressed. They're either some, they start out being addressed directly, and later in the pasuk, they're addressed in third person indirectly. Now let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim, back on the previous page, pasuk Zayin, add Meshiv, page 387, Berinyan, Meshiv, Shazeh, Yalide, Tachbula, Shulkul Anshe, Mvrischa, Shulchucha, Vilivi, Oischa. We're coming to describe how it came about that Esav came, was destroyed. It was through trickery. They were betrayed. They were escorted. Aragvol, Shetetze, Migvul, Artsachar, Lilachim, Imhoev, Himalchu, Itcha, all of your friends, they escorted you. Leaz, Laazarcha. They made believe Anshe Habris Shemuchuyavim La Azorcha Vamilchama. They made believe that they are your partners, your allies, and they escorted you to the boundary. They didn't help you in the war. They just escorted you to the battlefield. But they did not, then they abandoned you. They betrayed you. The Anshe Shloimecha Heim Hishiucha. Your friends, repetition, they spoke to you and they took away the fear. They said, don't be afraid. You have much more, much better weapons than your enemies. You have much greater sophistication. You have a much better battle plan. They took out of your heart's fear. And by doing so, they set you up to be destroyed. Kidei shetia tarud ba'mulchama v'al yidei koch. You would be destroyed. He's learned that Yachlucha means that the enemy will overcome you. Lachmucha, next expression of the pasuk, Lachmucha means Hainucha Oichlim Belachmucha. You see, it seems that the Malbim learns there are three different categories of friends, like we started with. There are three categories of friends: the Anshe Risecha, the Anshe Shiloimecha, and then the Lachmucha. This group, Hainu Oichlem Belachmacha, Heim Samu Mazar Tachtecha, Kiilu Ratzu Lerap Ois Hamaka VeHamazar Yamay Tachtecha. They want to heal. They may believe they want to heal your wound. VeHamazar Yamay Tachtecha, VeHu Yeh B'Mkaymcha LaHatzil Es Artzucha Minitzar. They may believe that they will be there to save you. They're going to apply the medicine. They're going to apply the medicine to get rid of your problems. The problem is what? The enemy. Battle is the refuah. It's the medicine to get rid of it. Aval ein tavuna boy b'mazor hazeh. He learns Pshtos a little differently. There is no logic behind this battle. This battle is not going to get rid of your problems. It's only going to make your problems even greater. Okay, so it appears he's learning the pasuk a little bit differently. Also, he's learning a lot of the little details of here in this pasuk, but he learns the pasuk. There are three parts. Let's review maybe according to the pasuk inside according to the Malbim. The first part of the Malbim describes the Anshe Virisecha. They will escort you to the battlefield, but then they will betray you. Hishiucha is a second is another category of friends. It appears they will take out of your heart fear. And by doing so, yachlu l'cha, it will enable the enemy to overcome you. Anshe, who's going to do that? The Anshe Shiloimecha. So it appears that according to the Malbim, the word Anshe Shiloimecha is going back on the word Hishi'ucha. It's a very sophisticated translation of the pasuk. The pasuk again begins. We have three categories. The Anshe Virisecha. They are the ones that will escort you at Hagvul Shulchucha. Next part of the pasuk, we have to read it backwards. The Anshe Shiloimecha, what will they do? They'll be the ones that will be Hishi'ucha. They will entice you, meaning they will take out of your heart fear. And by doing so, that will enable Yachlu Lucha, the enemy, to overcome you. Third part of the pasuk, the Lachmecha. Your friends, the people that sit at the dining room table, how will they betray you? They will advise you. They will be the ones that will yosimu mozor tachtecha. They will apply the medicine upon the wound. It appears that according to the Malbim, the word tachtecha here means the wound, the makor. The mozor is the medicine, not the wound. We're not going to go manipulate the word mozor to mean the wound, like Rashi in the Mitzudos, and the Radak. All three of those commentators learned the word mazar is a borrowed term to mean the wound. And they're setting you up to suffer a very great wound. Either it means they're setting you up, tachtecha, or they're setting you up to suffer secretly. That's not the way the Malbim understands these words. The Malbim understands the word tachtecha. Tachtecha means that's the wound. There is a wound. What is the wound? You have enemies. Your enemies annoy you. They are bothering you. What do your friends do? They come with medicine. They come with mazar. And they sprinkle the medicine on the wound. Here, this is a metaphor for your enemies advising you the way we're going to heal you from your wound is by advising you to go to war. Going to war will be the medicine to get rid of this problem. That's going to be the sprinkling of the medicine. But the pasuk includes the ein tivuna bo. They don't have a license to practice medicine. They're giving you hocus pocus. This is not real medicine. This is total nonsense. This type of medicine, and it's being done deliberately to set you up for failure. Now let's see the Mamore Chazal, Pasuk Zayin on page 389. Okay, this is something very interesting. Another translation for the word mazor. Page 389. Lach mecha yosimu mazor tachtecha ein tevuna bo. Amar belazar. Kol noisen pita lemisha ein boidea yisurin boin alav. Shenemar. Lach mecha yosimu. Mazor tachtecha ein tevuna bo. Ein mazor ela yisurin. Shenemar. Vayar fraim es chalyoi v'yehuda es mizoroi. This is addressing Baalei Tzedakah. A person was blessed with wealth and has an opportunity to give his money to support poor people. You have an obligation to give it to people who have intelligence, not to waste your money. What? IQ test. That's what it says. That's what it says. Omar Rebbe Loi, one more time, only the words. Kol hanoisein pitoi. If you give a piece of bread to a person, lemi she'ein by dea, a person who has no intelligence, then yisurin boin alof. He will suffer from this.
Who will suffer? The victim?
The giver. The pshudah shel mikra, because why? Hashem has entrusted you with wealth. And you have an obligation to use that money wisely. And by squandering the money on giving it to people who have no intelligence, the money just, you're flushing the money down the toilet.
So now he's going to buy drugs, he's not going to buy food.
He'll use the money to buy drugs, or he'll become a dependent instead of using the money as a way to earn the profession, to invest wisely. He'll just gamble it away, and he'll say, "Oh, I don't need to go to get a job.
Maybe
the guy will give me
not
a
to stop.
What?
Maybe he needs not to
stop. Well, if he has das, obviously this chazal has to be taken in context." Okay, obviously a person is starving to death. He needs to give him food that he shouldn't starve to death. We're not discussing that. Obviously, in this chazal making such a radical statement, we're discussing a situation where the guy's not starving, or you're giving him a lot more than he needs not to starve, and you're giving him the money to invest wisely. Here is money, go learn a trade. Here is money, go and start a business. Use the money wisely so that you're not a dependent. You can be a person that contributes to society, has a productive life. But if you don't pay attention, if your person takes his wealth and he wastes it by giving it to tzedakahs that are not worthy, so Hashem says, you know, I gave you a lot of money. I gave you money for a purpose, and you're not achieving that purpose, you don't deserve it.
Time out.
And now,
practically speaking, you're by davening.
Oh, no, I don't want to go. Listen, giving someone a dollar, that's obviously not what we're discussing over here. We're discussing over here, it's a radical statement. Okay, call someone who gives his bread to a person, she'ein bo dea, yisurin bo nolav. It doesn't mean when a guy comes around, he comes around with sheets, he humiliates himself to come collect. It's not the time to go give him a musa shmuz and tell him that your whole life, get a job, your whole life is no good, and you have 12 children, and what do you have 12 children for? Why do you marry this? And why do you do this? it's not the time and place. And especially for a dollar, for a dollar, you're not entitled to give him a musa shmuz for $1. If you give him $100, maybe you are entitled. So I don't even know that. But for $1, you don't have a right to go, and it's a problem. We all know it's a problem. Baruch Hashem, we're not the ones asking. Be happy, we're not the ones asking, we're the ones giving. Chasde Hashem, Achmona Litzlan. Okay, it's a very powerful Musar Haskel to see this. It is a very powerful Musar Haskel, and you have to be very, very thankful. Use this as an inspiration to thank Hashem for what you have and not to suffer this humiliation. It's not the time to give them a Musar Shmuz. You have a solution. There are people out there that try to help them, try to find a solution. Try to find a big, big solution with big, big money, millions and millions of dollars, to try to establish a machon for Parnasa, that this cycle should not continue into the next generation. But if you're not involved in that, you're just sitting over here in shul, and guy puts his papers in front of you, it's not your time and place. Here we're discussing people who have wealth, and they are not responsible. They are not responsible in distributing their wealth. And it says something very shocking. It's not just that Hashem, okay, I gave you money. Hashem says you're going to suffer Yisurin. Why should that be so? I don't have an answer. I don't know why. But here, the Bukhar is this pasuk, because the word mazar in this interpretation means suffering. It means to suffer. And there's a homiletic drush. Anshe, it says here, Anshe Alachmecha, a person who is blessed to have money as bread, and you give it, and you give it to a person who has aim to vunabo. We're reading the pasuk backwards. If you have Lachmecha, and you give it to a person who has no intelligence, Yosimu Mozor Tachtecha, you're putting upon yourself suffering. That is the Chazal. Chazal read this pasuk. They take the pasuk totally out of context, and that's the Chalukah one more time. The words on the bottom of the page. It's
wasn't there a precedent when Rabbi Yehuda opened his storehouses only for?
That's a different situation when there's starvation, there's famine in the world. This pasuk must be taken in context. A situation where the money can be spent wisely and it's spent foolishly. Look how we read this pasuk. It's an independent statement taken out of context to make a drasha. Omer Rebbe Elazar, Ben Kol Nesipi L'Lumishin Rebbe Idea. Yisurin Boin Olav, Shenemar, Lachmecha, your bread. Okay, we're going to skip to the end of the pasuk. If it's given to Ein Tevuna Bo, you give your bread to a person who lacks intelligence. Now we return to the middle of the pasuk. What are you really doing in essence? Yosimu, you are setting, mazar, suffering, tachtecha, upon yourself. How do we know the word mazar means suffering? Until now we've translated the word mazar to mean either medicine, or to mean a sickness, or to mean a wound. And now we have a new translation, it means suffering, yes. V'yein mazar ela yisurin shenemar, Vayar Ephraim es Cholyoi, V'Yehuda es Mizaroi, the same thing we quoted before, but in this context it means suffering. Okay, one last Chazal. That's it. Okay, that's it. We did everything we're supposed to do on this pasuk. So Mishum, tomorrow we move on to pasuk Ches.